The third Sunday after Easter. The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, I exhort you as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from carnal desires which war against the soul. Behave yourselves honorably among the pagans, that, whereas they slander you as evildoers, they may, through observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. Be subject, therefore, to every human creature for God's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as sent through him for vengeance on evildoers and for the praise of the good. For such is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Live as free men, yet not using your freedom as a cloak for malice, but as servants for God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters in all fear, not only to do good and moderate, but also to the severe. This is indeed a grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, "A little while and you shall see me no longer, and a little while you shall see me, because I go to the Father." Some of his disciples therefore said to one another, "What is this he says to us? A little while and you shall not see me, and a little while and you shall see me, and I go to the Father." They kept saying therefore, "What is this little while of which he speaks? We do not know what he is saying." And Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, and he said to them, "Because you inquire about this among yourselves, because I have said, a little while and you shall not see me, and a little while you shall see me. Amen, amen, I say to you that you shall weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman about to give birth has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has brought forth the child, she no longer remembers the anguish of her joy. She no longer remembers the anguish for her joy that a man has brought into the world. And therefore you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one shall take from you." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. St. Thomas Aquinas, when commenting upon this Gospel, relates it in accordance with the Fathers, St. Augustine and St. Bede the Venerable, and the other saints from the early Church. Aquinas concurs with them about this Gospel, and that is, this Gospel our Lord is speaking on multiple levels. He's speaking to the apostles before his death. This is at the Last Supper, when he talks to them, and he says, "A little while and I will be taken away from you." He's talking about his captivity, his death. He'll no longer be here. And then he says, "A little while longer and I will be back." His resurrection, while he is with them during the 40 days after the resurrection, the time at which we celebrate right now, liturgically. But there's also a secondary meaning, a deeper meaning, a mystical meaning. And that is that he's referring to the life of the church, or our life here. He says, "A little while I'm with you," meaning here on earth. And this is time he's referring to his time and after the resurrection. And then he says, see, now I'm getting it backwards. "A little while I will not be with you." And then this is after the ascension, at which he will no longer be with the church. And then he says, "A little while after that I will be with you." And that's referring to a second coming, when he comes, or after we die, when we are with him. So the Fathers and Aquinas all see this as having a twofold meaning. The second one is the deeper one, the mystical one, the one that refers to us. We're now in that period of time, that little while when he's no longer with us, when he's not with us. And St. Peter, in the epistle, is giving us an admonition on how to behave during this time. He says, obey the government, obey the king and the governors. Do good works. Behave yourself honorably among the pagans, that is, those who don't have faith. There's a lot of pagans today now. They slander you as evildoers. Right now, I'm sure many people have heard about the attacks on the church, especially in Europe. Seems like some of these people are taking glee in this and just want to destroy the church, which should not come as any surprise to us. But what does our Lord say? That behave yourself honorably among the pagans. Now, they slander you as evildoers, that is all Christians or maybe priests or things like that. But they may, by observing you, by reason of your good works, glorify God in the day of visitation. That day of visitation is the second coming, at the end of time, when we will all stand before our Lord. And even the people who aren't saved will glorify those who are. We'll recognize it. We'll just say, recognize it. And we'll give glory. Of course, they won't willingly give it. But they will. This is what St. Peter is talking about. And that second coming, when we meet our Lord, he says, you will have a great joy. Joy which nobody can take away from you. The joy of eternal life. The joy of heaven. He uses the little example of a woman giving birth. Says she's in pain, and then that pain goes away. That suffering goes away. And so our life is a suffering here on earth. But when we see the Lord, that suffering will go away. Of course, we see him and we're worthy, of course. We're in a state of sanctifying grace. That suffering will go away. And in the same way, Aquinas says this, in the same way, there's a twofold relief for the woman, so there will be a twofold relief for us. First of all, the pain that was there ends. And so in one sense, that's a relief. That's a joy. I'm no longer suffering this pain. But also, there's a secondary one, and that is now she has this little child, which is also joyful. And so in the one, it's even an increase. She now possesses this little baby, and everybody knows that little newborn baby is kind of special, and everybody smiles, I think, around a newborn. And there's something joyful about it. So there's a twofold thing, end of suffering, and then this new thing there. And so it will be for us. Our suffering in this life, our little difficulties, our crosses, the things that we do that we hate about ourselves will end. The attacks from the pagans will end. And in one sense, that will bring us joy. But there will be another thing also. And that is, there will be someone new in our life. Just like that mother has a new little child, there will be someone new in our life now. And that is God. In a special way. Now oftentimes when we think about heaven, we think about green fields and blue skies and beautiful mountain vistas and all of our friends there and our family who have gone before us there meeting us, Jesus and Mary there and the saints, in sort of like this paradise. If you like Hawaii, you can imagine like this tropical paradise or something like that, and with fruit and things like that. And we can also imagine it like in a sense, like a family reunion where we're there seeing our friends and our relatives and we're talking about things that happened in our life. You know, like in a family reunion, you sit there and you can hear about, you know, kind of like the past glories. I think I spoke about this before, but it's important to talk about this again. The past glories, like at a reunion, or like even college buddies or something like that, you talk about, oh, I remember when we did this or that. In heaven, it'll be like that, except, of course, we'll only remember the pure good parts. Oh, remember when, you know, so-and-so did this. He suffered that great trial for our Lord, and boy, that was wonderful and great. That will be part of heaven. We'll remember that, and we'll talk to each other about it. Also, just the friendship there. And the physical delights. We can think of like food and fruit and things like that, and wonderful exotic things. Or even animals, just, you know, whatever. All these wonderful, pleasant things. We often think about heaven. However, that's not heaven. That's not heaven. That's not heaven. That is a natural happiness, natural beatitude. Sometimes you'll hear the word beatitude, and I might throw it out here a couple times. Beatitude is just happiness. But that is based upon nature, what I just described. And we tell little kids this when we're trying to teach them about heaven, their catechism books and things like that. They'll have little pictures like this. That's natural beatitude. That is based upon our nature, what we are. We are beings of this world. And so even though in this world there's something wrong here because of original sin, and there's difficulties, and there's people who are not friends of God here who are attacking us, but when we eliminate all that, then it's just a natural beatitude. That is where our nature belongs. Now, if we make it to heaven at the end of time, well, we will be in a place like that, natural beatitude, where the natural world will be perfect. And we'll have these friends with us, all of you, hopefully, and me, and we'll be up there enjoying ourselves. No pain, no suffering, no more tears. But that's not heaven. So what is heaven? This is the most difficult thing in our religion. Heaven, the primary thing, is the beatific vision. The beatific vision. Beatitude, I said, means happiness. Beatific vision is the joyful vision. The joyful vision of God. And we will see God as He truly is. St. Paul says, now we see darkly, like in a glass, darkly through a mirror. There we will see face to face. We will see God as He truly is. Right now, we can see God through the material world. We can look at something and we can say, oh, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, that's good. And it's God's goodness that is sort of in that, whatever it is, we'll say a beautiful mountain vista or like the Grand Canyon, this big majestic thing. And we can just say, oh, you know, that's just beautiful. And there's something of God there. Any goodness in the world is an imprint of God. And we can get to know Him in a way, but it's through those material things. We can get to know beauty by looking at a beautiful vista. We can get to know beautiful people by just having a relationship with them and getting to know them more than on the superficial level. And, husbands and wives have a beautiful relationship, good marriages. And we can see, in a sense, God there. That's seeing God in the material world. In heaven, we will see Him face to face. We will not see Him materially. And this is hard to understand because none of us have experienced this. I see a lot of questioning faces. What are you talking about, Father? Okay. There's a place, if you reflect upon your thoughts, there's a place beyond the material world where our thoughts are. When we try to speak, when we speak, we use words. And every now and then, there's a time when you're trying to think, as when you've got an idea in your head, and you're certain of it, and you try to communicate that. And you say, you know, I don't have the words for this. I know what I mean, but I can't put it in words. That's ever happened to you. That thought is the spiritual thing. That is the highest part of your soul, that idea. And if you can remember that, that's the place where your deepest thoughts are. And it is that is the place, and I can only explain it. That is the place in which you will see God in heaven. You will see Him as He truly is, a spirit. You will see the Spirit of God, and there will be nothing in between you and He. And you'll talk to Him. in your highest thoughts. He won't use language. And he will talk to you. And it will be the most wonderful, joyful thing in the world, ever. It's not, you're not seeing God, you're not experiencing God through the material world. You're experiencing him, you're interacting with him directly. And the only thing we can do is talk in analogy here. We can only explain using material examples to try to get a feeling of what this is. And I tried to do this last year. I'm going to try and do it again this year. You know, every now and then you see a, with a family, you see like maybe the children, little children. It's always good to think about little children, 4, 5, 6 years old. But you got to prescind, you got to like forget about when they're naughty. But when they're really nice, when they're really good, that's what we'll be like. Not naughty kids, but, you know, when they're good and loving. There's something special about little children. And I've seen this a number of times, and, you know, you might have experienced this also. When the father comes home from work, and a little four-year-old is there, when they see their father, their joy is just overwhelming. They get so excited. Daddy's home. And they run over to him, and they kind of jump up and down, and they hold up their hands, and they're so happy. They're so joyful that their father is there. They haven't seen him in so long. It seems like forever. It's been 8 hours. And they are so happy. There you are. Finally. And the only thing we can say is that that will be the experience in our soul when we see God. There you are. Finally. It's been so long. Finally, we're together. This is what we will experience. That's the joy. You think about that little child with his father. So happy. That's what we will experience. Except, again, in a different way, it's just an analogy. It's a comparison. But it's a beautiful one. But unlike that child in which it's transitory, it will go away after about 20 minutes. Kids are always have a short attention span. For us, that moment will never end. That joyful happiness of being with our Father will never end. It will be there for all eternity. And it will never get stale. It will always be wonderful. And each moment, it will be more wonderful than the last one. We're there with our Father, finally. This is the joy our Lord is talking about. This is what St. Paul means when he says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man, but God has prepared for those who love him." We can only talk about this in analogies, comparisons. It's like this, but it's greater. Because we've never experienced it. But when we do, it will truly be the greatest joy we can experience. And so, while we're here in our exile, as we say in the Hail Holy Queen prayer, in this veil of tears, during our sorrow, during our trial, tribulation, while we are at war with the world and the devil, we should remember this. It should be a source of great consolation. We should reflect upon this about those who have gone before us, thinking about we may miss them now, but how much joy they are experiencing if they're in heaven now. We should look forward and comfort each other with this. That at the end of our lives, this is what is expecting us. This is what we can expect for those who are God's friends. So during this time, our Lord says, "For a little while I will not be with you. For a little while longer I will be with you. And you will have joy. And that joy, nobody can ever take away from us." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.